Alan Corrie grew up in Sydney during the Second World War.
We found the whole thing quite exciting. The brownouts, brown paper over all the windows, and there were wardens who came round, and if too much light was actually showing through the window, you'd get a knock on the door. As kids, we were involved in that, and I was at Burwood Public School at the time, and I can remember the air raid shelters being dug there by all the fathers of the students at the weekend. My cousin and I used to spend Saturday afternoons at the local School of Arts making camouflaged nets. And again, we thought we were really doing something very good for the war effort.
In 1946, Alan Corrie became an apprentice at the Sydney Botanical Gardens and started a remarkable 40-year career as one of Australia's foremost landscape architects. His first involvement with Remembrance Driveway was in 1954 when he came into contact with Margaret Davis.
She was a very formidable person. She used to sort of sweep into the gardens and wanted immediate attention. But later on, when I was doing my own research on Remembrance Driveway, I interviewed her in the United States, and of course she was quite an old woman by this time, and she'd mellowed considerably. In fact, she was a wonderful person to interview. But one very, very interesting sort of aside on Margaret Davis was that she'd learnt to fly an aircraft before she even learnt to drive a car. She felt that the Garden Club of Australia was virtually the be-all and the end-all of everything. Everything revolved around that, and I think she felt that when she came into the gardens, everything had to be dropped and attention had to be given to Margaret Davis. A very rich woman was Margaret, but an extremely liberal woman in the money that she gave for not only the garden club, but other garden activities, but also for particularly for conservation. She would give quite large sums of money for conservation, particularly for animal conservation.
In order to realise her dream of building a remembrance driveway, Margaret Davis enlisted the help of retired Army General Sir Frank Berryman.
Margaret Davis had a very, very high regard for him. He was the one who, I suppose, was one of those people who knew the right people, you know, had the ear of people in the right places at the right time.
How important was it for the driveway to have the ear of the right people at the right time?
I think absolutely crucial. One individual like Margaret Davis would never have been able to do this. The influence of people like Berryman was entirely essential to its success.
Another player in this remarkable saga was the Royal Botanical Gardens curator and chief botanist, Bob Anderson.
Anderson, of course, I don't think can be underestimated for his knowledge of plants. And as a scientist, he just simply knew what would be the right species and what was going to be the best sort of locations for success.
The first Remembrance Driveway Committee was formed. Joining it was Nigel Ashton, later to become chairman of the State Planning Authority of New South Wales.
Ashton knew how to acquire land at the time, and he knew how it was possible to gain public ownership to certain parcels of land. So he was absolutely essential, I think, to the whole running of the organisation.
Nigel Ashton was born in 1911 and recalls troop ships returning from the First World War.
I went to Melbourne as a baby and lived there for 10 years when the city was really just adjusting itself to the new era of the motor car. You were used to still use cabs, and many of the deliveries were by horse-drawn vehicles, and trams were mostly cable car.
In 1934, Nigel Ashton was articled as a clerk with a firm of architects in Melbourne. Then, in order to gain some overseas experience, he travelled to London in 1936. There, he worked on drawings for alterations to the annex of Westminster Abbey.
I was working to begin with His Majesty's Office of Works, on the Westminster Abbey and its alteration for the coronation of Edward VIII. And I was doing the working drawings for the annex they put in on the front of the west doorway, where the royalty could refresh themselves after the procession and before going into the long and arduous service no doubt for them. And I always laugh that in the middle of these drawings, the king decided to abdicate, so instead of having just the king and his entourage to deal with, we had to deal with the royal couple. So we had to find the quarters and all the other ancillary requirements for the Queen and her entourage as well in this annex, so that had to change the plan a bit.
Nigel Ashton returned to Australia at the beginning of the Second World War and became a town planner. He recalls the day that the Queen and Prince Philip officially opened the driveway on their first visit to Australia in 1954. They planted two London plane trees at Macquarie Place in Sydney.
Proper subject, we waited for the royal couple to arrive and they planted the trees. I wasn't in the forefront of the committee. It was Frank who was not only the chairman of the committee but also the director of the royal tour, so he had a good part to play.